Hi everyone. So I'm going to talk about four or five different stories that have caught my eye in the last few days. Now, firstly, as I said on the last audio podcast, we shouldn't read too much into market movements in the short term. So a lot of people were saying, oh, with the coronavirus vaccine, that would mean tech stocks would fall, and they did fall for a few days. What we've seen is tech come up again in the last day or two. I don't know if it'll continue, but the point is, long term, we don't know what's going to happen, of course, with markets, but we are going to use more and more technology in the future. So people often forget that somebody who bought the Nasdaq, even during the peak of 1999, would have made a lot of money in the last 20 years, but it took the Nasdaq 14 years to recover from 1999. And the Nasdaq has been the most volatile index in the last 30 years, even though it's done about 2% per year better than the Dow. And the S&P 500 has done about 12% per year. So technology is much more volatile, but for somebody who's young enough, who's willing to play the long game, I do think the tech valuations will be higher long term. But what we don't know is which tech firms will be strong. So in the same way as in the 1990s, many tech firms went bust, I do expect the Nasdaq to perform very well in the next 30 years, but I don't know which firms, of course, will be in the Nasdaq. Another article I was reading was about how London has remained attractive for high net wealth individuals from the Gulf and beyond. And what's interesting about that is one of the other articles I was reading about is how Bahrain is basically saying that they don't allow migrant workers or expats, anyone who isn't a local, to receive unemployment benefits. Now, you might say, well, that's normal because they don't have any income tax. So I'm not necessarily criticizing the policy, but one thing I would say is that given the situation in the Gulf, all around the Gulf and in many countries, there are more and more restrictions being placed on expats moving there. So expat visas have gotten more difficult across the world, especially in the Gulf and some other areas, and there is a process of localization. That can't happen everywhere because, of course, Dubai is like 85% expats. But in Saudi Arabia and to a lesser extent Bahrain and a few others, there is a process of localization. So I do expect articles like this to come up from time to time. And what's interesting is, though, those restrictions are now starting to seep into other areas. So another article I was reading about, I think it was in Bloomberg or another publication, was that the Philippines has suspended processing retirement visas for foreigners for now. And the reason is about the high number of people in their 30s who are arriving from China. So basically, the Philippines retirement program, similar to the Malaysian retirement program, you can actually apply from that from as young as 35 years of age. But of course, historically, most people didn't retire at that kind of age. And also, most people did not want to go to the Philippines in large numbers. Whereas, of course, the fact that China has such a large population means that even if a small percentage of 35 and overs want to go to the Philippines, if they have the money to pay for the retirement visa or the so-called retirement visa, they can move there. And of course, in the world we're living in today of remote working, of people being able to move anywhere in the world in more and more higher quantities, I guess. Demand has soared. The same thing with the Malaysian MM2H program, My Second Home. Originally, it was for the over 55s, then it was the 30-year-olds. But in the early years, not many 30-year-olds applied. But these days, now that more and more people can actually work from home and remote, some people in their 30s are applying for these residency programs on so-called retirement visas. So what's interesting is we might actually see increasingly some countries actually making retirement visas more difficult and raising those age limits because increasingly more expats are moving overseas in non-traditional ways. I was speaking to a gentleman who was in Singapore for 10 years on a work visa, and he said to his employer, "Can I move to Southeast Asia?" They said, "Yes, if you can, motivate yourself remotely." And to cut a long story short, he went on a retirement visa. So I think that because of these trends, more countries might make it more difficult to use these kind of loopholes and things like marriage visas, retirement visas, and other non-traditional ways of getting visas. There might well be a crackdown around the world. Now, another article I was looking at was the situation when it comes to the US and China. Now, today, Donald Trump has banned US investments that could aid the military in China. Now, what's interesting, you might say, well, he's on his way out almost for sure, but there is bipartisan support now. Probably it's the only area where there's bipartisan support for much more strict action against China. In fact, the Democrats, some Democrats, are actually more hawkish on China than the Republicans. And Joe Biden has made some very interesting comments about China and Xi in particular. However, one thing I would say is I wouldn't really worry about this. US markets hit record highs in 2018 during some of the worst times of the trade war. So I think personally there'll be a different approach. There'll be a slightly more diplomatic tone from the Democrats. They'll try to use their allies to form alliances. But we have to remember that this slightly tougher tone on China actually started during the Obama administration in the last couple of years under Clinton. So I wouldn't make the mistake, though, of thinking that the continuation or partial continuation of Trump's toughness on China will lead to US markets going down. At the end of the day, this has been a US policy for about 5 years now. It just got stricter under Trump. Under Biden, it might get slightly stricter or slightly more lenient, but I don't see a big change, and US markets have gone up for the last 5 years. So, if there's a lot of sensationalist media articles next year about, oh, markets might go down because the trade war's coming again, I wouldn't listen to that. Now, what's interesting in terms of the final article on Bloomberg is that the US Central Bank is warning about the US economy because obviously the pandemic, even though there seems to be a vaccine, deaths could well be even higher than March and April. And of course, vaccines, it's going to take 4 or 5 months, 6 months, or whatever to get it to enough people, even though the vulnerable might get it sooner. So we might well see increasingly more states not completely shutting down, maybe, but being more restrictive in the same way Europe's going to second lockdowns. So this isn't over yet. We might be coming towards the end of it. We might be seeing light at the end of the tunnel. But this could drag on for another year or so because ultimately we are going to have new waves of it in 3 or 4 or 5 months, 6 months, when more people have a vaccine that's been delivered all around the world. I think it is going to get much better. But nevertheless, it's not the end of this. But again, we shouldn't read too much into this. Don't think, oh, that means again markets will go down. I mean, look at 2020, markets have had a relatively good time in most parts of the world, despite the pandemic. So the point is, though, this isn't over. It's always a mistake to get too excited or too pessimistic. People are very likely to either become very fearful, like they did in February and March, or too optimistic, like when the vaccine was announced, markets went up by 7 or 8%. So it's always good to have a balance, keep investing for the long term, try to invest every single month to lower your risks. Don't care too much about the movements in the market on a daily basis.